views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. Hey. Welcome, everybody. It's going to be a wonder. It is a wonderful Tuesday. Glad to be with you today, and thank you for tuning in to Adventures in Recovery here at the Voice of Vashon, KVSHLP. And you know what? Every week, we just do some fun stuff. And I have one of my favorite guests with me today. Welcome back, Kenny Alton. Well, you know, let's try that one more time.
Thank you, Tom.
There we go.
Thanks for having me.
And it helps even more if I push the right buttons here on the console. Wait till we get the new console. That'll be really be treat. So hopefully you're not going to be a guest that day.
I'll have other people be the guinea pig for that, and then I'll come back.
Thank you, folks, for running a little bit behind schedule today. But in any event, our guest has some really interesting things coming up. Kenny, what have we got going on?
Well, if what I usually come in with is either journeyman stuff or grief stuff, and this time it's more grief. So I'm going to give you some more grief here, Tom.
Okay.
I'm just going to talk about some projects that I have been working on lately with grief groups and support people to support. And supporting people with grief groups. I have been doing a grief group right now. It's been happening at Women Hold the Key. We are almost done with that. We have two more sessions for that. And we usually have like six sessions and certain topics like, you know, what's your story with grief? What's your story behind the story? What's the story you're stuck telling with grief? What's the story you want to start living into? Also, how to process grief in a culture that avoids grief, and what's the gift of grief? And so we're going to do another series. This time, I've been working with Judith Neary from RJ's Kids, and she's been sponsoring, the organization has been sponsoring it, and she's been a great support in trying to keep more support for grief groups. And we're going to start another one, another six-week series, and that'll be held at the Episcopal Church. And that's going to start April 6th to this June 15th. And it'll be every other week from 6 to 7:30, and it'll be a consistent time. And what we're trying to find a space that will allow us to have a consistent time instead of moving things around. Even as beautiful as the space was at Women Hold the Key, we just needed to find some place I think that would be helpful to have it more consistent.
Oh yeah,
and it'll be at 6 to 7:30.
And you know where RJ's Kids is, right? Or it's the Episcopal Church. You said
the grief group will be at the Episcopal Church. RJ's Kids is an organization on the island, a nonprofit that helped build the skate park. But Judith is sort of the organization is sort of switching to more grief support groups, and so that's and the latest project with that is that we're also trying to Judith and I had this great conversation about how to give that support to a specific demographic that I feel and then she feel we're really on the same page with this. Is sort of the 20 to 40 demographic, how to start introducing this idea of the dialogue about grief and how to process it. And as Richard Rohr says, if you don't transform your grief, you transmit it. And I think this culture is, nobody's given them the imagination of how to process grief. And I think, and I believe grief is an innate biological technology, if you will. And if we don't use that format, then we start to use technology outside of us, which is substance uses, our phones, shopping, other forms of distraction.
And our Western culture here never prepared us for how to process grief.
No, not at all.
Look at some of the Eastern cultures. They have it all laid out. Look at our Native American culture. They have it all laid out, a process right. that they follow. It's traditional and it's healing. And it allows for that space for people to be sacred space.
Right.
Some of the topics that have been addressed in the past with the grief group has been, what's your story of grief? How to process grief as a village. In other words, getting support. How to be present with grief in a culture that avoids grief. How many ways do we medicate? You know, a lot of people might lose somebody or even maybe a pet, and they start hitting the bottle. Another one was, what is your story of grief that you are stuck telling? You know, you got to talk about it. You got to get it out. You got to move that energy.
Yeah.
So it's not too early to start showing interest in, if you or someone you know wants to take advantage of the new group that'll be coming up, I would send an email to RJ's Kids, and that's just rjs-kids.org.
Yeah. And to donate, if you could, we're trying to like keep this supported, trying to find venues. What we will do is, we do have this lockdown for the, it's going to be basically a conversation around grief, and we're hoping to get like the 20 to 40 demographic, and that'll be at Dig Deep on April 30th from 6 to 7:30. We'll have a fire pit, we'll have some chairs, and just start to bring up the conversation and how can we support you on this community on that demographic, which I think really was kind of raised to have a pain avoidant culture, right?
Yep.
They were the beginning of the phones. They were the beginning of TikTok and Instagram. And a lot of my clients and a lot of the youth that I talk about, that's their dissociative tool now. And I think if we don't process, again, we would transmit it. And if we don't process, then we just start moving into that loop of pain avoidant. And I don't mean like, you know, like that play with the pain thing, but the kind of emotional existential pain that we really need to address. And, you know, if you don't do grief, grief does you.
And sometimes you have to embrace it in order to release it.
Exactly.
I mean, new opportunities for pain avoidance show up all the time.
My God.
Look at people on their phones.
Yes.
I mean, how many times does a family or a group want to maybe share a meal together, but it's like, how can you share a meal when everybody's looking at their phone? And it's kind of disturbing, actually.
Well, I think it hijacks our natural soothing systems. It hijacks, you know, just like I think marijuana hijacks the endocannabinoid system. And so all we are asking for is dopamine hits, right? Dopamine hits. And the scrolling is just a dopamine hit, a dopamine after a dopamine hit. And that one thing about those things, whether it's substance use or phones and technology, is it never says no.
Yeah,
exactly. It just never says no. So when we do, when something in life says no, like I talked to you about this earlier, we walk with grief from birth to death. We walk parallel with it. And if we don't create a relationship with it, if we don't create a conversation with it, it's chronic. But when it goes acute, we just don't have the skills, the tools, the ability to stay in that tension, the ability to have a conversation with it, to address it. And then we collapse, and then we go to the coping methods that have been given to us in this culture. And those are like dissociative tools, like phones and substances. And
grief is a hard thing for us to understand here. And by just showing up, though, at this next series, that's all you really have to do, is show up and see if that speaks to you.
Right.
Because if you, all you have to do is show up with the willingness and an open mind to let go of some old stuff that does not serve you anymore.
And grief is grief. I really believe that it doesn't matter, you know, it could be betrayal. It could be what's happening to the planet. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be a loss of a relationship, an ending of a job.
Yep.
You know, all this is grief. And And I think a lot of our, I believe, this is my opinion, I'll take everything I say with a grain of salt, but I think when we don't process that stuff, a lot of the other things start to become, the symptoms become like, oh, is it ADHD or is it grief, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of when I see people who are like, I feel they got ADHD and I go, well, what's going on with you? Well, I lost my job. I lost a relationship, you know, well, that might not be, and I can't focus. Well, it might be because you haven't really processed the grief that you need to get through. And that is innate in our body. Like when a zebra gets chased by a tiger and it gets away, and what it does is it shakes. It shakes it off. It shakes all the adrenaline out of its system. Mm. For us, that process is just grieving, tears. We release cortisol when we cry. And so, that is just our process. And I think it's been hijacked by other things like substances and phones and distractions and dissociation.
And the distortion. Shopping, gambling. I mean, every time you push that button on the slot machine, dopamine. But, you know, some of us grew up with the parents telling us, especially the boys, stop your crying.
Yes.
Boys don't cry. Well, then what do we end up doing? Sitting at the bar years later.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a bartender for 20 years. So yeah. I've been a counselor for a long, long time in the sense that I was kind of helped to provide an ear for people. And most of the people sitting at the bar alone aren't there celebrating.
Right. And, you know, the amazing thing, so I also run this men's council through Journeyman, and it really is what we want. We want this connection. We want to be heard, you know, but the irony is that when we go to the bar, we go to the pub, is that that process takes us away from each other. It gives the illusion of connection, but it really takes us away from each other.
Well, it's putting more armor on.
Right. And how do we create these third places, these venues that are there for us, whether it's a grief group, whether it's a men's council or a woman's council, to actually serve what it is we want. And that's community, connection, to be seen, to be heard, to process our stuff without being judged, without being shamed.
Yep.
You know, that's another thing. I remember at times when I was going through a lot of my grief, and I wasn't looking for support, but I would mention it out loud. This is what happened to me. This is this big loss. And I would just be, people would walk away. And I'd be like,
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's like, what? So, and I'm not saying that's the wrong or right thing. I'm just saying what we do need is we need these other places that will allow us to actually process and express the hurt and pain and make connections. Grief is the great connector.
Well,
it connects us all.
You have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone because it's going to be providing some opportunities for growing pains.
Right.
Because like the example you just used, somebody's asking you how you're doing instead of just the autopilot. Oh, I'm cool. Good. How are you doing? Instead, if you were to actually be honest with them, well, I'm feeling kind of restless, irritable, and discontent.
Right.
They're like, what the hell does that? you know, and people are really uncomfortable with you sharing that truth of your feelings because they're not there yet.
Yeah. Vulnerability is vulnerability is where growth is. As Carl Jung says, there's no coming to consciousness without pain.
Yeah.
And I think because of this pain avoidant culture, we think that whatever's happening is a bad thing. What it is, and that's why I call grief the gift of grief. When I do the gift of grief group session, it's about grief is a threshold emotion that brings us to all our feelings, our joy. There's no grief without love. There's no grief without joy because it's a recognition of what we've lost and the joy and the love that we had with it. So it brings us into all of these emotions, and when you are in touch with your emotions, that's how you know who you are and know self, and that's what brings you into self-awareness and individuation and authentic self. And grief is a route, and everybody has it. It's a way we connect automatically.
No, There's no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we deal with it, it puts a different light on it, and it's an opportunity for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Alton, thank you so much for being with us today once again. And I know you always have some cool stuff going on the island. So any last word before we move into our next segment?
There's this April 30th will be for a certain demographic, 20 to 40 will be at Dig Deep. It's sponsored by RJ's Kids. If people could help support this and so we could get nice venues like this, please make a donation. It'd be really, really gratefully appreciated.
Kenny Alton, thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll hear from you soon.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Tom.
Coming up next, folks, we're going to be hearing from a good friend telling us more about Recovery Beyond. Stay tuned. So we've got Taylor Richards. Taylor, are you there with us right now?
Yes, I'm here, Tom.
Hang on a minute here. Trying to be technical. It's just not working. Taylor Richards is with us talking about, let me put him on speaker. There we go. Talking about Recovery Beyond. Are you there, Taylor?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Thank you, sir. So, okay. Taylor is the outreach coordinator for, I think I got your title right.
Yeah, I'm the community partner specialist for Recovery Beyond.
And Recovery Beyond has some really interesting events coming up in the very near future, including, well, especially March 22nd on a Sunday, right?
Right, we sure do. And it's in the Mount Baker Community Club. It's right on Lake Washington. It's going to be March 22nd, Sunday from 12:30 to 3:30. And it's just a real good opportunity to come see what we have planned for the year. So,
So for our listeners that don't really know, they're curious about what the heck is Recovery Beyond? What's it all about and what's it for?
Well, Recovery Beyond, we're an outdoor recovery community. And, you know, right now what we're doing is we have a lot of things planned for the year, such as hiking, fishing, backpacking, mountaineering, all sorts of things like that, recovery focused. And at the Mount Baker Community Club on the 22nd, this is a free, family-friendly, celebrating recovery, building connections. There's going to be some raffle tickets, fun prizes, and there's also going to be recovery stories and program highlights. So this is just a good opportunity to build connections. And last I checked, there's around 100 people signed up for this.
Wow.
So it's going to be pretty awesome and popping.
Well, and I can speak from personal experience. I was at the one last year, and since last year, I'll tell you what, I've done so many things with this organization. And when they say Mount Baker, it's not, we're not going all the way up on top of Mount Baker, folks, for this. No. It's just right over in Seattle. And there's going to be a lot of transportation coming from the island here. And when we say it's for people in recovery, the motto is you're in recovery if you say you're in recovery. Doesn't matter what you feel like you're in recovery from. It's just a really great bunch of positive-minded people that have a value in understanding the power of being out in nature. And that's really where a lot of healing goes on. So I was actually, one of the things I went on last year was the camp out way up by at Forks?
Yep, that was near Forks, Washington. That was such a good event, you know? And like what you said is, you know, connecting people to the outdoors, recovery support, and community. Like those things together are really what I feel, bring people together. And that was, we're going to be doing another Camp Recovery Beyond this year in Leavenworth. So I hope you can cover that one, Tom.
Oh, no, that sounds great. I'm not really, if you'd look at me, you probably wouldn't think I was the camping type. But you know what? I showed up. There was like 90 of us, had a great time, and it's an experience I'll probably never forget. So it's not just camping. It's not just hiking. Let's say if somebody has an interest in, you know, we live around some pretty incredible mountains around here. I wouldn't mind learning how to climb that. Well, these guys teach you mountaineering, and they have the gear to supply it to show you how to do it, right?
Right. Yeah, we have a gear locker. We try to reduce the barriers, you know, providing people gear and then also rides for people that might not have rides. We try to make it as easy as possible to get involved and come hang out with us, you know, and so having those barriers reduced by offering those things to make it easier for people, especially early in recovery, or, you know, and a lot of the times, like, you know, people that are members are early to mid to long-term recovery. And, you know, that's like where it's a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just being able to reduce those barriers to get people out and hang out with us, you know, have fun with us, have fun in recovery.
Exactly. And I can be the first person to vouch for the fact that I've met some incredible people, and they're all out basically just to have a good time. Now,
right,
if somebody wants to learn more about Recovery Beyond prior to this event coming up on the 22nd, what would you suggest they do?
What they could do is just type in Recovery Beyond in Google right now. You could also go to recoverybp.org or just type in Recovery Beyond. We have a website, and in that website, there'll be the calendar. There'll be also like kind of, it'll show about us, who we are, what our values are, and how to get involved. And if you go to get involved, you click membership, and you would fill out a member enrollment form. It is a free membership. And then also feel free, like, to just browse around the website too, you know. And with this Mount Baker event, you don't have to become a member to sign up for this. This is also in the calendar on the website.
Oh.
You can just RSVP for that for free. There'll be food, there'll be fun, And then we also, for Facebook people, there is also a private Facebook group that you can join on that too.
Sweet.
It's all on the website. Yes.
Well, you know, in Vashon, we've actually had, we had an event here where we actually showed the documentary film, full-length feature film, that the gentleman we're speaking with today, Taylor Richards, was featured in this documentary called Walking on Ice. That had to be a heck of an experience.
Yeah, the thing is it was an adventure, right? And, you know, what I encourage for me and my experience is addiction was hard, recovery is hard, life is hard, but I have learned that, you know, just being able to accomplish the things that I've accomplished in recovery, things are popping up, right? And it's like, that's the hope, you know? And the belief, the core belief that I had about life was I couldn't make things work. And, you know, what I've learned is by doing hard things like that and trying new things, I can make things work. Right? Mm. Like, I can learn how to do things from other people, which was really hard for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Walking through those fears.
Mm.
Eliminating those former past false belief systems. And folks, I've gotten to be friends with this gentleman, and we're talking to somebody that has come from. Do you mind me sharing some of your story here, Taylor?
Sure, Tom.
It's such a miraculous leap. I mean, this is a guy that used to live on the streets in Portland. He's been through a few treatment facilities, but within the last, didn't you just get 7 years in?
Yeah, and in that 7 years.
In those 7 years, he's gotten his bachelor's degree. He's got a great job. He's traveling now, and he's reacquainted with his family. And in addition to that, he has just become a credentialed, certified substance use disorder professional for the state of Washington. That's pretty awesome.
Big deal.
It is.
It's a lot of big deals, you know? And yeah, it is. It's just hanging on hope. You got to hang on to the hope, you know? And that's what I'm doing. You know, I've had to learn new things in recovery. I'm still going to learn new things. I'm still going to make mistakes, but hanging on to the hope, not letting go of hope. Even though sometimes I can't see the hope, I still hang on to the hope.
Well, you just show up, brother.
Yes.
You show up. I don't care if it's the hot yoga. These are some of the other things that they offer, too. Hot yoga. Over the weekend, you guys scaled Tiger Mountain, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's also, well, we had an ice cream social at Titlow Park in Tacoma. That was huge. And there's something for everybody. And every event is family-friendly, except I don't know if I'd bring your four-year-old to the top of Mount Rainier in a climb. But that's one of the climbs that are coming up eventually, correct?
Yeah. The one that I'm signed up, we have a couple, we have three in the mountaineering program that's getting ready to do. One is Mount Adams, Mount Olympus, and then Mount Baker, which I'm signed up and already on the list to do Mount Baker this year in July. And so I'm training for that along with other people. We're all training to do these mountains. And that's the thing too, is like, those are our more challenging excursions that we're doing.
Mm.
And you know, it's a good feeling to be a part of something like that. Because when I did Mount Adams in 2024, it's just like another thing. Like, I cannot believe that I made it to the top of Mount Adams.
Gosh.
Mount St. Helens. Like, I would have never have thought that 10 years ago, that I'd ever be able to be on top of a mountain. I didn't think it was possible, you know?
Well, hey, that shows for good living, buddy.
Right.
For
hang
good
on
living.
To the hope.
Hang on to the hope.
That's my catchphrase today. Hang on.
H-O, hang on. Cool. Well, as always, my friend, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Once again, the big event's coming up on March 22nd. If you want more information, just go on to, just Google Recovery Beyond. In fact, if you Google it enough, you'll be able to actually see a trailer from the actual movie Walking on Ice. And that will give you a really good idea of what these people went through. So it's been a pleasure having you with us again, Taylor. And I don't know about you, but I really look forward to having you with us next time with some more events coming up from Recovery Beyond and Adventures in Recovery. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And I look forward to being with you all again next Tuesday at 1:30-ish. Take care.